Hello and welcome to Cubicle Confidential, weekly advice for the working stiff. I'm Chris DeSantis, and I'm a speaker, an author, and sometimes a frustrated neighborhood member.
Wow. And I'm Tim McClure. I help companies with strategy, structure, and market research, and I need to issue an errata statement for a previous episode.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm great, yeah, okay. Chris. I can't wait to hear about the politics. Yeah, do it.
Well, you know, listeners, we're doing this from our home locations, and we're putting this all together through one of these devices that does this. I don't know. Jack will have to give us the technical term for putting it together. And I'm dealing with the internet. And I find that when I'm in this neighborhood on a weekend, the internet becomes difficult. And I've come to the realization that probably every kid in the neighborhood is on the internet over the weekend, whereas in the weekdays, they're just not here. And so I think I've had trouble with the internets on weekends. Anyway, it's a small frustration in life. I think it's a first world problem.
you terrible kids, get off my internet.
Okay? Exactly.
You don't have a lawn, so I guess that's what you got to do.
What happened to you? What's your beef?
Well, I got some feedback from two episodes ago. We had a show called Mission Implausible that was about kind of stretch goals and unrealistic expectations. And I very clearly heard that I screwed up two things. Oh. So first, if you recall, we were talking about Hot Ones, and I was so excited to talk about the show Hot Ones and to throw flowers at the host, Sean Evans. I identified him as Chris Evans, who is the actor that plays Captain America in the Avenger movies. So, Sean Evans, sorry about that. You're fantastic. That's part one. The other is I was giving the JFK quote about sending a man to the moon, and the second line is, and return him safely to Earth. And I said, return him safely to work, which is, you know, kind of the same idea, but that's not what JFK said. Neil Armstrong did return to work. He was on the moon in July of 69. He didn't retire from NASA until 1971, but still the quote is, land a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth. So just trying to set the record straight.
Oh yeah, no, those are good catches. I didn't realize. I mean, I was there. I don't remember hearing work. Well, I guess I was just enthralled with the recollection of the memory of landing on the moon.
Yes, well, you know, and thank you to our intrepid listeners who are putting accuracy over my self-esteem.
We appreciate the input. Well, that's funny. By the way, you know, we'll say this again at the end of the show, but you can reach out to us at any time on info@cubicleconfidential.com, and we'll take that feedback.
As long as your internet's up, we will.
I know. It's a nightmare. So if I fade out occasionally here, it's because my internet. I'll come back. Yeah, I'll come back.
Just assume Chris is lost in thought. Well, maybe let's get to a letter before we lose connectivity. What do you say?
Yeah, I think so. You mind if I start out here? Because the theme this week is lasting impressions.
Wonderful. Go for it.
Hi, guys. I'm looking for advice on how to make a really positive and lasting impression. I'm trying to get a job at a not-to-be-named network. I learned that they get thousands of applicants for intern positions each year and only select 30 or so. I also know that knowing someone goes a long way in getting a position. I'm from Kansas, and I don't know anybody who's anybody in New York. I'm staying with a cousin and couch surfing. She said I've got 2 months. Got any ideas on how I can stand out? Signed, TV Envy in NYC. Oh, let me repeat that again. I like that. TV Envy in NYC.
I see what's going on. So the letter's Envy, but meaning envy, like green with envy.
Envy, exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's fun. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Hey, I don't know. Do you want to take this on first, Tim?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to jump in here. So first off, I don't know that I have any relatives that would give me 2 months in advance. I think you ask for a week and you just don't leave. So, you know,
I think that was my plan when I did it.
Kudos to the cousin for letting you in. Okay, so let's tackle this. We'll try to make the most of this letter, but we're kind of missing some of the detail. We don't know the network or right. necessarily the position. You mentioned intern.
Well, no. Right. Intern. I guess interns aren't they like utility players where you sort of you just go where they send you? It's not like they have something for you specifically. But I've never been one.
Yeah, maybe that's right. Or, you know, if you're an intern on for the network at large versus a show, but whatever the case, you know, what I would say is the good news is you've got some runway here. So you've got a chance to create an experience via your cousin's generosity in NYC. Mm-hmm. Maybe the way to do this is cast a little bit wider net. So you're keyed in on one network, but certainly there are several who would be available in New York. So maybe we've got to look kind of at large where you could potentially get a position. And the fact that it doesn't come to mind that you know anyone in New York doesn't mean that you don't. So, you know, start with your networks, whatever that means, friends and family, alumni from whatever schools you might have been to, if you're on LinkedIn, et cetera. Maybe you do know somebody there. And of course, that warm introduction can kind of help open the door. And then right away, my brain goes to, you know, homework and research, which is, you know, something that you're going to hear a lot about from me in most cases. You know, looking into this network, what can you learn about them? Do they have some, you know, people who've worked there in the past that are from where you're from? Can you create a connection there somehow? And, you know, just over-prepare. Do your homework. Learn everything you can about what goes on there and try to make a pitch for why, you know, you with your fresh perspective from out of town might be somebody you can add to the mix while you're there. Maybe lean into that Midwestern work ethic, something like that. I don't know, Chris, what do you think?
Well, I think your advice is sound there, but look, here's the reality. It's unlikely that you're on the short list for anything.
So you're recalibrating the expectation right out of the gate.
Yes, because here, kid, you've already said in your first or your third sentence here, I'm from Kansas. I don't know anybody. And the point is you're already putting yourself in this position where you've increased the unlikeliness. In my sense, you've got to be fearless. If you really wanted this thing, you got to be fearless. And I love Tim's point. You have a network. I go by the model of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Remember that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the secret here. You know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And you've got to push that envelope as much as you can. And again, you've just got to do it. And so in that sense, somebody who knows somebody will get you in touch with somebody. And then you do sort of the calls, start making the calls. I had this friend once, but here's a good story. Well, I don't know if it's a good story. But anyway, now I've put all of these terms in front of the story. But the reality was he wanted to work in television, and he didn't know anybody. So what he did was he would watch this one particular program, and then he deconstructed and said, okay, what do each of these scenes mean? How does the progress go in terms of this? And then he wrote a test script, now, which was interesting by itself, because then he got another friend of ours. And what she pretended to be an agent. She pretended. And she shopped his script around as if she knew something, which she didn't. And wouldn't you know it, the script got read. And not only did the script get read, the script was purchased. And that began his career in television and then went on to movies. And my point was, she was fearless in pretending who she was when she wasn't that at all. And so I think in this reality here is this humility that you bring to the table isn't going to serve you if you really, really want this. So you've got to be assertive in getting it. And I like Tim's advice also that, look, this network doesn't like you, then this network's stupid. There are other networks. And so go after them in turn, but not at once. So anyway, that would be my advice.
Well, I love that story. It's in no embellishment here. This is actually what happened. This person pretended to be an agent and shopped the script.
She shopped the script. She got him the work. He went on to do regulars on that particular show. And then he went on to write screenplays. And then he went on to direct films. And so in that sense, he's had a major career in Hollywood.
That's
and he's known.
And that person is Barack Obama. That's amazing.
You know why I particularly like this story? Because I was mentioned in one of his movies, one of his films, the protagonist, actually the antagonist, because she was an evil woman, was running this, I think it was a school or something, and there were kids in the pool. And so in the pool, one of the scenes was she yells at the kid. She yells, "Hey, DeSantis, get out of the pool." And I knew at that moment that he remembered, you know, this was his sort of like, oh, he remembers me. That was so nice. So I thought that was funny.
It's fantastic. I mean, are you on the IMDb page? Do you have like a SAG card?
There's a footnote. There's a footnote to a footnote.
Listen, we'll take
it. Actually, the person who screamed it, I'll give you a hint to the viewers. The person who screamed it was Kathy Bates.
Wow.
I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good story. And I think it's one of those stories that are inspirational in the sense that you can do this. The bad news of a story about like this is that you think you can.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that think they can, and they live a life of disappointment if they don't. But you don't know until you try.
Well, I think
that's what my advice would be.
Absolutely. Great.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Great life lessons here, right? So number one, just recognize what a long shot this is. However, talent,
exactly.
The world's full of talented people who never get a chance, right? So let's understand how realistic this is or it isn't, which is why, again, you know, don't focus just on the one network, focus on several. Like you said, Chris, that whole breakdown of the script and the test script and that sort of stuff, that seems like useful work in building a portfolio or at least demonstrating your capabilities. So maybe that's something you can use again and again. So get something out of the experience of trying to land this position. If you happen to land it, good for you. You're one of the lucky ones. And if not, you know, use this time in New York to learn something and maybe build up some assets that you can use to open the next door.
I will add to this because I think you've got to harden yourself against rejection, because rejection will be kind of common in what you are pursuing, since so many people are pursuing it. So in that sense, I have a story about that too, because I remember reading this recently. It was Sir Patrick Swayze. Remember, you know, he does the Star Trek stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Jean-Luc Picard, I think. Is that his character?
Jean-Luc Picard, right. And he was doing one of the Star Trek movies.
Hold on. Patrick Swayze is...
Not Swayze. Okay. Patrick. Patrick.
Thank you, Jack. Real-time errata. Real-time.
I'm pulling a Tim now. Right. What's his name? Patrick Stewart.
I knew who you meant.
Yeah, but again, I didn't want to get the feedback you received. So
I'm glad Swayze, Jack corrected it. Not that's, getting that's a lot of work these days.
Was it Chris Evans?
That's it. Anyway, finish your thought, Chris.
Anyway, Patrick Stewart's in this interview, and he said, you know, they asked him about, you know, who did you have doubts about, you know, in terms of actors he worked with. And he had mentioned his co-star in Resurrection, I think one of the Star Trek films. And he said, I was absolutely convinced he's going nowhere. Nowhere. And it was Hardy. You know, Andy Hardy? Not Andy Hardy. He did Venom.
Oh,
and
Tom Hardy, you're thinking
of. Tom Hardy. He said, that guy's going nowhere. And as it turns out, of course, Tom Hardy is quite a success, and he's made some really good films. But it's so interesting because when people in a position of what you would respect, meaning this is a good actor, saying you got no shot, you tend to believe him. Maybe you tend to believe them, but in this case, this guy just went on to do things. And my point here is that I think you're going to be up against people saying you can't. And so there's always got to be a part of you that says, well, maybe you're not quite correct. But then where do you draw the line? That's an interesting question, Tim. Where do you draw the line between that which you believe in yourself and that which is the denial of the reality?
You say denial of reality, and now I can only picture Patrick Stewart as the character in Ghost. But that's Patrick Swayze. I'm all twisted over here, Chris.
That would be funny.
The misidentification. Well, I think, you know, it's all about taking a step back. This is where friends and family can help you, right? Nobody wants to throw water on your dreams, but the more of a long shot it is, the more you have to lean in that the attempt is worthwhile, right? It's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. It's that kind of a situation. And if you're, you know, this, we're talking about an internship here. So presumably this person is relatively early in their professional career. So, you know, it's okay. You maybe have a couple of misses in front of you, and maybe there's a make, and that leads to where you start your career. Mm-hmm. If TV, NV, and NYC is 57, you know, and this is the 142nd mm-hmm. internship that he's gone after, yeah, maybe it's time to kind of pack that dream away and do something else.
Yeah, that's good advice. You have to say to yourself, at what point will I stop doing this before you even commence doing it? That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, here's speaking of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, what is the connection between Patrick Stewart and Patrick Swayze? Who is the connection?
Is there's a single link between the two of them?
Yes. Yes, there is.
I think I know it.
Go ahead, Jack. Yeah.
Well,
I have no idea.
My guess would be Whoopi Goldberg.
Exactly. We have a winner. We have a winner. Have some of that candy we gave you.
No, that's a punishment.
Whoopi Goldberg was a star in Ghost, and she was a semi-regular in Star Trek.
I had no idea.
Yeah, she ran the lounge. She ran the lounge. She was the bartendress.
Listeners, the value never ends.
I know, right? Right. Anyway, hey, so we're done with our TV envy in NYC.
Yeah.
We wish you luck.
Good luck, NYC. Hope you can find a comfortable spot on that couch. And you know what? Maybe you'll thread the needle and get a great opportunity here.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the couch, remember I alluded to that? When I first moved to Chicago, I moved from Denver because there was no work in Denver, and I had friends in Chicago, and I used the same strategy that you said. I said, hey, do you mind if I stay on your couch for 2 weeks? 3 months. 3 months. By the way, on a leather tufted couch. You know what a tufted couch is? It's got those buttons.
Oh.
Horrible.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, look.
What are you going to do?
Look how far you've come.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, my couch doesn't have tufting just because of that.
So, Chris, if you don't mind, a short indulgence here. Speaking of friends and degrees of separation in Chicago, that all leads me to our dear friends at Kite Math. So listeners, I think this episode is going to come out Wednesday, April 24th. I think if we stay on schedule, that's when you'll see it. So if you're listening to this, you may have noticed we have a new logo for the Cubicle Confidential podcast. We have a new colorway, and that is thanks to our dear friends at Kite Math, just like it sounds, K-I-T-E-M-A-T-H. The folks there are spectacular. Kite Math is an award-winning multidisciplinary design team with deep knowledge of corporate communications, working with a lot of household brand names. They work across media, print to digital, email to experiential, solving problems and helping companies connect with their employees, consumers, and other key audiences. In that other key audience category would be our podcast listeners, thanks to Chris and Jen there at Kite Math for the help with the new logo. I think it looks great. Chris, what do you think?
Oh, I love it. I think I'm assuming these two young people are brilliant in that sense, not assuming they're brilliant, but assuming they're young. Because what I really liked about it was it took into the tonality of how I see things, meaning I like this whole mid-century vibe that they captured and the tone. I like the color. I mean, these are very clever people that are listening to you, Tim, because I'm sure you described some of that. And I think you got exactly, actually, it went well beyond my expectations of the logo. Really nice work.
Yeah.
Really nice
work. I couldn't be happier. It's a husband and wife team, partners in life.
Oh, they are.
Partners in work, but between the writing and the design and just the ability to convey a message and connect with audiences, they lucky to know them. They do spectacular work. So, folks, if you need anything in print, digital, all different formats of communication, if you're rolling something out, if you're trying to get a message across, these are good folks to know. KiteMath.com, yeah. Chris and Jen. thanks again. Really, really happy.
Yeah, thank you, Chris and Jen. And we'll have you over. Let's all do a thing. Let's get together.
That's
more. Show you my mid-century.
Yes, in the Chateau Neuf de Pape, because we like to say that every time we can.
I do like to say, we'll serve Chateau Neuf de Pape.
Yes, and you got to make that that pop sound. That's the half the fun.
Let's have. Anyway, we should go on to the next question here. Tim, you want to take this one?
I do. This letter is from, it's funny until someone dies in Pittsburgh. I did something really stupid at work. I should clarify, I'm now reading the letter, but that opening sentence could apply to me and many things in this past week. Sorry, let me start again. I did something really stupid at work. I was working at home. I was taking a break and saw this really funny Far Side cartoon about a stupid boss. Oh boy, we know where this is going. I was going to send it to a buddy, but instead I sent it to everyone at the company. Needless to say, my boss isn't happy. He said so much in no uncertain terms. I like my boss, but now at least he doesn't like me, and I'm not sure if anyone in senior management is happy with me. I don't want to be known as the cartoon guy. How do I turn the page? Again, signed, it's funny until someone dies in Pittsburgh. Oh, no.
It's funny. That is funny. All right, do you want me to go first on this thing?
Yeah, absolutely, because we've all either done something like this or had a near miss, you know what I mean, or been on the other end when somebody we knew did this. So this is a kind of a universal pothole we're all trying to avoid.
That's exactly right. This is one of those public embarrassments that we all have experienced at some point in our lives. And I think you have a choice here. Again, you know what? I'm just going to go out on the, since I'm in the mood to push the envelope here, I say, you know, rather than live this down, let's live this up. And I would say double down. Ooh. That's what I would say. And what I'm saying about that is find another cartoon that speaks to your stupidity. At the same time, find it in a way, if you can, get one that makes your boss look good. So I kind of think if there's a way to flip this in a way that says, oh, it's him again, but this time he realizes what he has done. And I think that might sort of save you in this instance because, look, regardless, you're going to be known as the cartoon guy.
Right.
You might as well be known as the funny cartoon guy. And they're going to get a kick out of you because you took it in stride. And I think when somebody takes it in stride as opposed to hide or be ashamed of what they have done in this instance, I think it goes faster. It's like when you break some kind of rule in the public arena, go after the apology rather rapidly as opposed to denial or obfuscating or not talking about it. Just lean into it. Now, I have one other suggestion, but go ahead. Let's go with your thoughts on this.
I just absolutely love where you're going there. You know, you lean into it, double down, right? There's so much in the public discourse where the punishment on the cover-up is worse than the punishment would have been for the crime. Mm-hmm. This isn't really a crime here. So that idea of leaning into it and, you know, we're kind of tap into a growing field of sort of restorative justice. Like, I think the only other step would be, if you haven't already, go own up to the boss. I thought this was funny. I didn't mean it directly, you know, at you. I didn't intend to hurt your feelings. So I'm sorry. And I'd like to sort of make it up to you by embarrassing myself with this next cartoon. I think that's, I love where you're going.
Yeah, what I also like about it is it might, they liked the first one had a buzz. The second one will also have a buzz to it. Now, the third time, you won't send another cartoon out, but maybe there's something you can do within the company that you can network around the idea of cartoons. And what I'm suggesting here is maybe there's a cartoon of the week or something that people can share and it becomes a competition so that there's some, I will say, there's some leverage to this. So for instance, what if there's something going on in the company and then somebody sends out, this is the cartoon that really capsulizes how people are feeling about this particular issue. And my point is it becomes a metaphor for how people are feeling about things, but it's also funny and it's joyful. And I think that really brings more community to the organization. And so I think, you know, I don't know if this is necessarily a bad thing. I think it might turn into something, a very, very good thing. So Anyway.
Yeah, I love that. So, you know, the other thing, I don't want to gloss over this because I don't know if you're a fan of Gary Larson and the Far Side.
I love Gary Larson and the Far Side.
I certainly love it. I don't know if this continues to be kind of in the popular culture. Jack, are you as familiar with Far Side cartoons as we might be?
Yeah, I love Far Side, but it feels old now.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. But it was sort of ground.
Well, thanks, Jack. Yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks a lot. So, you know, what was interesting about it and what, you know, it's a little bit of an oxymoron because Far Side was a single panel comic strip. The idea of the comic mm-hmm. strip was usually, you know, kind of a three panel situation.
Right.
A and B and therefore C. But this one, you know, is a little bit groundbreaking in that it was very, very popular and single panel. I don't know if you guys have a favorite, and it's maybe hard to articulate this in an audio format, but my all-time favorite is the one where there's the kid is trying to get into the school and there's a big sign and it says Midvale School for the Gifted and the door clearly says pull and this kid is just pushing with all of his might and it's just, you know, the gifted kid who can't figure out how to get the door open. It's just, I love that.
I love that. That's funny. I remember one, I can't remember how it said, but it was an interview. It was an interview. And the interview is what looks to be a buffalo being interviewed. And the line is, no, I'm from Buffalo. I'm actually a bison.
Oh, that's a good one.
I thought that was so funny. But anyway, there are a lot of these. Anyway, Jack, I remember these things.
My grandma, Shirley, had...
Oh,
had
my this, grandma!
You remember? No, I don't mean because she's that old. I just... she had a... My great grandma had a coffee mug that had two deer on it, and one deer has a bullseye on his stomach, and the other deer is like hell of a birthmark, Hal.
That's the best. I knew that
one. That's funny.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's funny.
Exactly.
That's funny. You know, I did have one other suggestion for this person, since we're on the vein of being assertive and pushing yourself out there, as the first question was, you know, TV envy. I thought maybe, why doesn't this guy write to Larson and explain what happened? And would he mind writing a note from the cartoonist thanking the company for being such good sports about it or doing a cartoon about this? And I thought, well, you know, he may say yes, he may say no, but put it out there, which I think could be very funny unto itself.
Yeah, no, and at least the outreach could be, you know, the next chapter in the story. I love that. And great grandma Shirley, that's fantastic, because I love that unfortunate birthmark one also. What could be really cool is whether it's Gary Larson or somebody else could kind of, maybe the third of these cartoons is a three-panel strip. And the first one is, you know, the boss looking at his computer, seeing this and being very angry, you know, sort of pound, ampersand, exclamation mark over his head. And then in the second, it's the two of them talking and the kind of the mea culpa and the shrug. And you know, in the third one, maybe they're having lunch together or toasting a drink or something. And it's sort of like, look, we can get by this. We don't have to jump to canceling people when we make a mistake.
Oh, I would go the other route with that, Tim. The punchline would be, he's an outplacement. That's what I'd go. I'd let him go.
Anyway, this is great. I love this. So it's lasting impressions. How do I make one favorably? How do I stand out from the crowd when trying to get this internship? And sort of how do I unwind this lasting impression I've made by, you know, the dreaded reply all with the cartoon? That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, there was an article that we had on this, and I know we're closing in on time, but there were some points on how to make a lasting impression by a man named Jeff Vishnuko. That's an interesting name. It's very complicated. But he had some points on this. You know, they're commonsensical points. But one thing I did like, he had a quote in here. I love this quote. Did you happen to see the article, Tim?
Oh, yeah. And the Oscar Wilde quote, is that where you're going?
Yeah, that's where I was going. And his first point is keep it real. And Oscar Wilde had said, be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
That's a pearl of wisdom. My favorite Oscar Wilde quote is, true friends stab you in the front.
My favorite Oscar Wilde quote is, on his deathbed in a hotel in Paris, he said, either that wallpaper goes or I do.
To the end, to the very bitter end, he was funny.
He was funny. Oh, anyway, this article I thought was interesting. Kind of nice. One of the points, I don't know, did anything stand out for you in this?
Well, I love this. And, you know, it's funny because this comes back to another Oscar Wilde quote. So the second point was sort of make deposits, not withdrawals from a social interaction standpoint, right? People either feel energized after being around you and working with you, or they feel exhausted. So, you know, sort of recognize if you're trending into one of those and you need to be in the other one, just be aware if you're wearing people out as opposed to kind of bringing some energy to the situation.
Well, it ties to the point. He had one other point that I'll mention and then I'll let Tim close this out. But I liked his point for be bright, be brief, be gone. Actually, there are four maxims of conversation, and these are three of them. I can't remember who wrote the maxims of conversation, but I like them. This is about brevity is really key because it has to be clear. Actually, clarity is the fourth one. But I like brief, meaning don't you hate it when somebody makes an explanation that just seems to go on forever? I like the highlights, right? And leave them wanting more. You're more interesting when you don't tell them everything than when you tell them everything. You see what I'm saying? Have a mystique about you. Anyway, that's where I'm with that.
Well, I think you've hit it in almost everything we do, right? It's at some level, we're not getting anything done, whether you're presenting to a group, I'm running a strategy meeting, whatever it is. You've got to be able to connect with people. And that idea of simpler is better, right? Your fancy words, your 10-cent words, people are like, what are you talking about? Why don't you just tell me what you mean and kind of leave the jargon out of it. Simple, succinct, that's the way to really resonate with people. So good lessons in there for sure.
Excellent. Well, all right, let's bring it on home, Tim. It's up to you.
Yeah, thank you. This is this was a really interesting episode, The Lasting Impressions of Both Varieties, Good and Bad. Next week, we have let's call it a magnetic episode. We're going to be talking about office crushes and the potential for attraction in the workplace. Chris, thank you, as always, for sharing your wit, your insight, and your advice that if you have a good friend who's willing to impersonate someone else, that may be able to open doors for you in your career. So file that one away. Thanks, Jack, for producing, as always, and making all of this happen. And, you know, you had made a comment about Grandma Shirley, and then Chris took that as a slight against his age, and then you corrected yourself to Great Grandma Shirley.
So Great Grandma, exactly.
So anyway, thanks for being part of this and making it all happen. And of course, big thank you to all our listeners. We want to hear about the drama, the dilemmas, the conundrums you face at work. Send your emails to info@cubicleconfidential.com. New episodes every Wednesday. We hope you have a great week. Cubicle Confidential, signing off.